You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very pleased to be here.
Lovely day, isn't it? Nice and sunny.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, gorgeous.
Now, you're a singer-songwriter, local lad from South Tennessee.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
So you've left all that lovely sea and sunshine and come to Brentwood.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to come here for your show, and it's
the Brentwood, where they're probably all out filming Towie now. They're probably doing Towie tours today. I see it in the High Street when I was coming through, and they that's where they film there. That's where they film there.
Yeah, but, that's right. You've got Jamie Oliver up the end of the pier as well. And he's, he goes on in Southend.
It's great. Now well, before we start, I must mention that you emailed in after listening to the show a couple of weeks ago when we had Velvet Tree in, and a couple of emails later, and here you are.
That's right. I mean, I know the Velvet Tree guys fairly well. We both sort of did the open mic scene down in Southend, which is a huge scene at the moment, and it's really thriving. I like what they're doing, and I thought, well, if they can do it, so can I.
And why not? Well, why not? So if you're listening and you want to come in on the show, it's as simple as that. Just email in radio@phoenixfm.com or myself, direct, tony@phoenixfm.com. Simple as that. Now, let's get to the music, because we just heard your track that was taken from the album which we'll be talking about later on. That was The Second Coming. What would you call your musical genre?
It's very hard to pin down, really. I suppose ultimately I'm a singer-songwriter. I write songs of varying styles. What's important to me is more the words than the music of the song. I like a song that's got a little bit of a meaning, maybe, or something that you can actually listen to and it makes some kind of sense. I suppose, you know, it's along the lines of my songwriting heroes, I suppose, people like Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, but anyone who can write a good song, write a good lyric.
Mm. What made you get into music, you know, the music industry, or just gigging and singing? It's quite tough out there.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I started out just like so many people do, playing your guitar in your bedroom, you know, messing around. You get the Beatles songbook, it was in my day. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah, I've got one.
And you start learning a few chords, learning a few songs.
Is it because the Beatles are the easiest ones to play? I think that you
I don't know.
You've got the three or four chord songs that you've learned first, don't you?
Yeah.
You think, oh, that don't sound too bad.
Well, I suppose it's because there's not a status quo songbook, so it's, that'd be easier. And then I just started writing a few songs. I found, you know, the words sort of just started coming out, and I wrote a few songs, started playing in my bedroom. It took me a long time before I plucked up the courage to actually get out. And it was on a friend of mine who used to run an open mic, and he, all my other friends made me go up and get up and play one day, and so I did. And I've built up confidence from then. It's very hard getting up in front of people when you've...
They do a few of those at the casinos now, don't they? The open mics and stuff.
They do them all over the place. You can literally, I mean, in the sort of Essex area, you can go to an open mic every night of the week, every
week
of the year.
Southend's quite a busy place for live entertainment, certainly.
It is, yes, yeah. There's, well, like I said, there's open mics every night of the year. There's, you know, band events going on everywhere. You're not stuck for someone to see.
No, I suppose it'd be quite hard if you got a Little Mix. If you was a Little Mix fan and you bought their songbook, it'd be quite thin, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
Well, sorry, Little Mix, if you're listening, but it probably would be quite thin. Now, you was talking about what influences your music. So, where do you get your inspiration for your music? Who do you aspire to be like when you sing your songs?
I like music that's got some feeling behind it. I don't necessarily think that a brilliant voice is that important, or brilliant music. You've got to have a good hook and you've got to have a good lyric. That's like I said, people like Bruce Springsteen, I think he's a fantastic songwriter, and he puts his heart and soul into everything he does.
You've got a bit of that in your voice as well, haven't you, Bruce?
Well, I'll take that as a compliment, yeah. But some of the more recent songwriters, I mean, even people like Jake Bugg, you know, he's got something slightly different, and you can tell the songs he's written, he's thought about, the lyrics make some kind of sense, and it's simple, very simple, effective songs.
Yes, yeah. What's who would you collaborate with, if you know, don't have to be a signed artist, but who would you like to have join you on stage if you could?
Oh, blimey. Obviously, Bruce Springsteen.
And he's got his new track out.
Go for the top.
he's got on the A-list, actually, High Hopes. Quite a long song, four minutes plus, but it's he's back in the charts, so to speak, which is great news. You're gigging at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, I'm playing various places around the South End area, fairly regular basis. I still go to quite a lot of the open mics around, do that circuit still, because it's good to find out people who are just coming into it, and you see some amazing talent coming through.
Yeah,
some of it moves through very quickly, some of it stays.
Yeah. do they when you go to the open mics, a lot of them, are they? There's two types. I'm thinking of open mics where you just go there and jam out, or there's the ones, the competitions where you actually win money at the end. Is there a competition? Do you win anything at the end of the open mics? Just for fun?
I do it just for fun. I mean, I realise I'm not going to ever make a million playing my music. I play my music because I enjoy it, yeah. And I hope that, you know, I get my music across to as many people as I can.
Yeah, professional here. It's not all about the money.
Yeah, I'm probably slightly older than some of the youngsters who go in for the competition.
Well, he's probably younger than me. That's a plus.
I'll let the youngsters do the competitions, because there's a lot of good youngsters around.
I think there's something we was talking off air about some of the equipments and how you can put in drums and how you can and the programs. You've got the X Factor and these other bits and pieces. Now you can buy tracks which you can sing to. Karaoke obviously has come out, and then since you've got music, you can download and sing to it. I think it makes it easier for young vocalists, young kids now, to get into music than it did years ago, when you had to kind of play a tape, sing over it, replay it onto another tape, and it's a hard process. In fact, it was really hard process to put something together as a bedroom musician, so to speak, or DJ.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, the studios could do it, but obviously you couldn't do it at home. And now you can do it. If you've got a PC, it's unbelievable what you can put together.
Oh, it's very easy to get something together and to get something that sounds, almost professional. Put it together in your bedroom on a laptop or whatever. On the downside of it being so easy is when you start trying to make something with it or go somewhere, there's so many people out there doing it now. You've really got to be, above the game to get somewhere. It's really hard.
And probably a little bit of luck. I think a lot of it is sometimes just being in the right place.
90% luck.
Because there's lots of singers that you see on TV who play live, and you think, that wasn't as good as I expected them to be. And technology has helped them forward. But now we're going to do a live track. What are you going to pick for your first track?
I was going to do a track called The Box of Bees first, and this is a track I wrote a little while ago. If I just tell you a little bit about it, if that's all right. When I'm writing a song, the muse comes from lots of different places. This particular song, I was watching a television programme about people who collect things. And now this guy on there is a student, and he collected bumblebees, and he kept them in a box, and his girlfriend had just left him. And he said that what made him really happy at that time was opening his box of bumblebees and sorting them out and looking at them. And I thought, well, that's very strange.
It is very strange. I'm so looking forward to listening to the lyrics now.
Yeah, well, the next day I wrote this song. And sometimes I just don't know where the songs come from, but I'm glad they come.
Okay, Chris, take it away. But
this is Box of Bees. It's okay, I got my box of bees. And if I look closely, I see them smiling at me. But I can see right through their black and yellow veils. 'Cause just like you, they've got a sting in their tails. And if I look into the dark side of my mind, I can see some of the bad things you might find. I bet your closet's got a scary bone or two that never stopped me loving you. And And it's okay, I got my box of bees. I gave them names and their own histories. And each one reminds me of a place we used to go. I don't think you'll understand, I don't think you'll ever know. But if I ruled the world and I took you back in time, I'd find a box for you and you would still be mine. And when we're feeling lonely, we could look inside the box of bees you helped me find. Oh, but now you say that you're leaving, and I'm not feeling very kind. 'Cause all the things I believe in come to the forefront of my mind. And it's okay, I got my box of bees. And I don't care what people think of me. 'Cause in my darkest hour they make me feel alright. And I think I'll look at them tonight. But now you've taken all the things we used to share. I look around and I find that it's cold and dark and bare. And then my eyes fix on the box beside the bed, and I think of them instead. But it's okay, I got my box of bees.
Fantastic.
Thanks very much.
And I just found you on Twitter. That's what I was doing. I thought, is that the right one? Chris Robson. And I had to look down. I was looking at the tune because you tweeted all about your songs. And then I found The Man That Can't Be. It was on one of your tweets. I thought, that must be him.
That's right.
Oh, well, there you go.
I am that man.
You are that man. Chris Robson Band. Talking about the band, let's quickly mention the band, because when you go out with the band?
I usually gig solo, actually. Mm-hmm. I do want to get a band together. I had a band about a year ago that was called The Big Band Theory. And the theory was I'd be better off with
the band.
However, it didn't prove to be that case. I mean, it was good while it lasted.
Yeah.
Trouble is, in the South End area, there seems to be only sort of half a dozen bassists and lead guitarists and things. Yeah. So everyone's in a three or four bands. And they couldn't give it the time that I really wanted it them to give it. So I decided to call it a day again. But I'm always on the outlook for someone who... I just want a small three-piece or a bit of rhythm and a bit of someone who can play the guitar better than me.
Yeah. And I think you go down it really well in one of those, like, kind of, like, folky festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I can see you getting up, especially with that Box of Bees song.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I did, a few years back, there was an SX Festival down in Southend, and I played that. I've done the Leaf Folk Festival a couple of times.
Oh, that's good.
So, that's the kind of thing I like to do. Yeah.
What about when you go on to the open mics nights? Is there anything embarrassing you've had happen there? Do you ever have any embarrassing moments where you've forgotten the words? Or?
Yeah, you always get those times when you forget the words. Especially as you're starting out, if you haven't quite got your confidence yet, you'll be playing along, and then your mind will just go completely blank.
Just wandered off, yeah.
But the more you play, it's not so much the less you make those mistakes, but when you make them, you get very good at just making something else up the rhymes, and no one else notices, because if you're doing your own stuff, they don't know what the words are anyway. So.
No, so they wouldn't know.
No,
the box of bees, you could just, if you forget bees, you could just put, had a bit of cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
And those probably just go straight over their heads.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's talk about the new CD, because I've got it here. This is the new one, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
The world looks very small from up here. And I like the front cover. It's very you obviously can't see it. I'll hold it up to the camera there quickly for the people who are watching. I would say it's kind of like 70s. Is that, it's 70s looking with a font.
Yeah, that was actually a photograph that my wife took. Mm-hmm. She's a photographer, and she was at the top of Canary Wharf, I think, looking over London, so you can see the Gherkin and et cetera. And really, it was the photograph that inspired the album and the album title. Because seeing that photograph, I thought it was a fantastic photograph. And it just made me think that, you know, the world does look very small from up here. Mm-hmm. And that's the way a lot of people feel a lot of the time as well. It's a big world and there's a lot of small people in it.
So you've written and produced this yourself.
Yes.
You got six tracks. We played one of them earlier on. It's six tracks. Tell us a little bit about some of the tracks that are on there.
Well, the first track on there is a track called Madeline. Mm-hmm. And that's probably a bit more of a folky track. It's quite an upbeat number that chugs along. And again, it's a song, most of the songs I write, the lyrics just pour out of me. If I have to work hard on a lyric, I usually don't ever finish a song, so I don't tend to bother. I tend to sit down with my guitar and things just come out. Mm. And that's one of those songs, and it's just about a fictional character called Madeline. And it started, I just imagined I was out in the sort of, I suppose, like in a western down out in America, and I imagined this girl called Madeline walking down the road and another guy who was a bit of a player, I suppose, he saw her, and then he ended up in prison, and she was a prison guard, and it's about their relationship. Probably play it later if you want,
but
that's one of the best.
And the track you played, the Box of Bees, which was unusual, but it draws me now to what this second track, Portrait of a Serial Eater, is going to be about.
Well, that's Portrait of a Serial Eater was written, I'll be careful what I say about here, about one of my former next door neighbours when I was a child growing up, who was he was a banker. He was pristine. He used to go to work every morning at the same time, bowler hat, suit, umbrella, got the train into London, and he seemed so perfect, and he always ate cornflakes and did everything. His garden was absolutely pristine, and I thought, there's, you know, this song came out because I thought he was so perfect, there must have been a sinister side. And so this song is actually about him, and it doesn't say in the song, and I don't know what the reason is, but for some reason he's not allowed to go anywhere near his sister anymore, and he's got restraining orders and things.
They had one in Shenfield the other day. I think they shot him in the leg. So you're going to do we will talk about this a little bit later on. You're going to do another track for us. What's the second track you're going to do?
I'll do... what should I do? I'll do The Man That I Can't Be, I think.
Yeah.
This was...
This will be track... This is track five from the CD.
That's right,
It's a six-track CD EP, I suppose. Yep. Tell us a little bit about the track.
This is a track, it's... And the writing is this song, it wasn't really about anything. This is just the words just came along. I started off with the guitar, a simple guitar riff, which was just a... And the words just started coming over onto that. And it was just about, I suppose, a typical sort of lovey type thing of a man who's in a relationship, and the woman doesn't want him anymore, and he can't understand why, and just went on from there.
Everyday stuff.
Yeah, sort of everyday stuff.
Chris, take it away.
Right, it's The Man I Can't Be. Baby, 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 why can't you look at me? Is it that you're looking for a man that I can't be? All the time I struggle to find a reason why. When I'm feeling close to you, I'm the last thing on your mind. And I've tried and tried, but you can't see that it's a lonely place to be. Is it too late to
change your mind. You do not have to be unkind to me. And lately, 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 well, I've seen a different side. Something in the way you talk and the way you move my mind. Tell me, tell me, tell me, oh, tell me it's a lie. That you'd rather walk away and find another guy. 'Cause I've been crying in my sleep while you've been lying counting sheep. And as I'm adding up my fears, oh, your curly hair dries up my tears tonight. And I must be crazy, crazy, crazy to think there's still a chance that you'll come running back to me in time for my last dance. And all my friends, they told me to leave it all behind. But in your darkest moments, you never know what you might find. And I've been looking deep inside to see if there's a you and I. And all the things that I have seen, the things that make me still believe in you. I still believe in you, yeah. So baby, 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 why can't you look at me? Is it that you're looking for a man that I can't be? Or is it that you're looking for a man that I can't be? Is it that you're looking for a man that I can't be?
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
And it's another, not folky song, but it's kind of heading on that way, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And most of them are. I write with just an acoustic guitar, so most of them come out with that sort of singer-songwriter feel.
Yeah. Do you go on the electric side or the guitar side or 12-string, possibly?
No, I've got a 12-string. I do 12-string sometimes.
Got a lovely tone,
doesn't it? Yeah, it has. It's much fuller sound, and some of the songs it works with, some of them it doesn't. But 6-string works with everything, I think. But yeah.
I remember buying my father gave me a 12-string guitar when I played briefly. I just remember it being a swine to tune.
Oh, yeah. No, it's murder to tune. And if it goes out of tune halfway through a gig, it's horrible.
And they do struggle with the pressure, don't they? So much pressure on the neck of the guitar, pulling it all the time. But you just got to hope it stays in. The first part's really easy. It's the alternative strings, obviously.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Now going back to this, the EP, which is this is fairly new, isn't it? It's not.
No, I finished that. I suppose just around Christmas time. So yeah, it's fairly new. It was. Some of it was recorded at Sound Studios down at Southend.
Yep, just about to ask you that. I'm just reading that off there now.
Yeah, and some of it was recorded by a friend of mine who runs a home studio called Mark Elliott, who's a brilliant guy. He's been recording people in the Southend area for donkey's years. And what I did was I recorded just the vocal and the guitar, acoustic guitar tracks in the studios, and then I spent probably another couple of months adding all the drums, the bass and little bits and pieces and mixing it all myself. And then I got the whole thing mastered professionally to sort of bring it up to the right levels and put a bit of a sheen on it, hopefully.
Yeah,
and that was the process, so it was good.
Have you got? I know that you've got possibly videos for these. Have you done videos? Have you looked at putting stuff on YouTube?
Yeah, I have got a YouTube channel, and I've recently been starting to put just videos of the basic songs on there. People can go and look at that. I think The Man That I Can't Be is the last one I put on, up on there, I think. So yeah, I've got a YouTube channel. I've got a blog as well that I've just started, which is where people can actually find out what's going on, what I'm doing, what I'm putting on the YouTube channel and gigs I'm doing. And the blog is on, I wrote that down just before I came so I can read it off. And that's at the chrisrobsonband.blogspot.co.uk.
Have you got any of the other EPs out? Are you going to be working on another one now you've done this one, it's completed?
Yeah, I think you always start looking at the next one once you've done one. I've got a four-track acoustic EP available as well, just called The Chris Robson Band. That's the first one I did. I did a live recording that was actually called The Box of Bees, but I hadn't ever done a studio recording of The Box of Bees, which is why it's on this track. And they're all available. You can contact me through my blogspot or email me at the chrisrobsonband@hotmail.com and I can give you any details you want.
Are you also on Facebook as well?
Yeah, also on Facebook, yeah.
And
Chris Robson.
Twitter, which I just done, just put you on myself, it's Chris Robson Band.
That's right.
Robson as in R-O-B-S-O-N.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
Now, just quickly run through this this songwriting process, because, so, you, as a non-songwriter myself, I find it amazing how people write songs and come, just get a subject and off they go. Do you I know you explained a little bit earlier, but do you do the melody first when you're writing a song? Do you strum out what you think that's going to be the basis of the chord structure and then add lyrics, or do you find something that you want to talk about, write the lyrics and then try and get the song to work around that?
Invariably it's, I start with a guitar. Every day I pick up my acoustic guitar and I'll just strum a few chords and I'll just play about on it, and then every now and again something comes through that I think, oh, that's a good, you know, a good riff or a good verse or a good chorus, and then that's got to be coupled with something just comes into my brain. I've got hundreds of notepads lying around, like I think every songwriter or writer does, and you write down little snippets all the time, just one-liners, and then, you know, when a song comes out, it's those two things coming together, really. It's that little melody you've written and a snippet, they work together, and it tends to just flow out then. And like I said, if it doesn't, I tend to give up.
Yeah, if you're obviously a seasoned pro when it comes to doing that. Yeah. I've talked to a man who wrote a song about a box of bees.
Well, there you go.
Now, we were talking earlier on about reality TV, and this is a subject that comes up with all my guests, because is it something if you got the phone call, because they do tend to contact people now, you don't necessarily have to queue up for miles and miles. If someone contacted you and said, look, we want you to go on Britain's Got Talent or one of the other big named talent shows, is it something you'd do?
Yeah, I'm not really proud. I'll do most things. So, I mean, I'd
stand there to be shot down by those judges. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people know, give these programs a hard time. I think the youngsters that go on these, not all youngsters, but the people that go on these shows, they're just trying to get somewhere, and it's a very hard business to get somewhere into. If you've got some talent, you should try everything to get out there, and if it's going on Britain's Got Talent, then do it. If someone told me, gave me an opportunity to sell my soul for 15 minutes of fame, I'd probably do it.
And they do give you a hard time for going on them, but you'd have to be, no matter where you are in music, you have to be incredibly brave once you get onto the live shows, certainly to be given a song to sing it. It's not something you could just be thrust into. I think people can do that. I mean, they have to learn a song in a week, and
it's incredible. I mean, these people are really talented, and you get some that might sing a bit off tune on the night or whatever, but you've got to remember where they are and what they're doing. And the only thing that I don't like about the programmes is the tendency for sort of the judges to become the celebrities rather than the people they're supposed to be focusing on.
Absolutely.
And that's the only bad thing, I think.
Yeah. So I think certain shows are different on the way they do it, and putting people down on the shows. It's been fantastic talking to you. What's the goal now for you for the rest of the year?
Just to play as much as I can and start working on the next CD, really. I just want people to hear my music. That's as simple as that.
Where will you be next? Where can people find you next?
I'm playing at, actually this Wednesday, I'm playing at the Plough in Westcliff. It's the pub in Westcliff. So I'll be doing that on Wednesday night. I should be playing the Lee Folk Festival again this year, which is good. At the moment, I'm trying to work up a few gigs between next week and the Lee Folk Festival, so anyone wants to book me out there?
Yeah.
You know how to get hold of me?
And if they do, yeah, let's just run through that again. So to get hold of your social sites, and to, if they want to listen to the music, for instance,
yes,
let's run through those. You've obviously got Facebook.
Yeah.
You have the YouTube, which is...
The YouTube is, again, the Chris Robson Band YouTube channel.
Yeah.
All my music is on a SoundCloud channel, which is www.soundcloud.com/Chris Robson.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact me through Facebook, which is Chris Robson, or email me at thechrisrobsonband@hotmail.com.
Okay. Now, Chris, we're going to play out with another track from your fantastic CD. It's I've gone for that one we were talking earlier on, Madeline.
Yeah, Madeline is
Madeline,
how I pronounce
should I say.
It, yeah.
And this is the track one. We can remember that. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me up here. It's
been
great. We'll
have this on the show page blog probably by tomorrow, so you can re-listen to the interview, listen to tracks. I'll be putting those on, and also we'll put some of the links on to Chris Robson's page, and that'll be on the phoenixfm.com site under the show page, Sunday Lunch Show.